We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Now, everybody knows that there's a crisis in the world, and that crisis is in America, and that crisis is in this city, and it is in your city. We're in a war. Some say it is a political war. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents. Others say that this war is a cultural war. Others say it's a philosophical war, a war of ideas. But it is a spiritual war. And we're not going to win the war. We're not even going to understand the war until we expose the enemy, the power behind the throne. What is really behind the abortion industry? And it is an industry. Many are getting wealthy killing babies. What is behind the gambling empires? What is behind the narcotics cartels? What is behind the pornographic producers? What underlies the sexual perversion that's in the world today? Who is the mastermind of all of this? I say again, we're not going to come close to winning the war if we think that it's political or philosophical or economic. We're not even showing up for the battle. We are in a spiritual war. The enemy is Satan himself. Now, there was an ancient king, a wicked king. He was the political ruler of his day. And Ezekiel was told to preach to him and to warn him, to take up a lamentation against him. But then Ezekiel the prophet looks right on through, right on past the king of Tyre to the real power behind the throne. Now, I want us to understand what is happening today in America, and I want us to look through the political structure, look right on through it to the real power behind the throne. Begin reading in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now here God is talking about Satan himself, the dark prince. And God describes him in this particular passage. And the four basic things I want us to learn today about Satan as we look at this passage: the power behind the throne, his satanic majesty, the devil. The very first thing I want you to learn is this, that God did not create a devil. Now, the devil is a created person, but God did not create a devil. When God created Satan, he was not Satan. When God created him, he was a cherub. He was an angel. He was created in absolute perfection. The Bible says in verse 15, you were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. So many people ask the question, where did the devil come from? Why do we have a devil? Why did God create him to begin with? God did not create the devil as the devil. God created him in absolute perfection, and the Bible says that he was perfect. When he was created, he was surpassing in beauty. He was superlative in wisdom. His name was Lucifer. Now, that sounds like an evil name to us today because of the evil connotation. But the name Lucifer literally means bearer of light. Light bearer. He was a bright, shining individual. Verse 13 speaks of his pipes being prepared in him. He didn't need an instrument to praise God with. He was an instrument. When he spoke, it was like a great pipe organ. His very voice was melody and music. Why, he lived in a jeweled city. Verse 13 tells us that he was in the garden of God in Eden. Every precious stone was his covering. His garments were bedecked with jewels, like the jewels of the high priest in the Old Testament. Oh, how exquisitely beautiful were the coverings of this individual. He lived in a city whose very stones were fire. I'm going to live in a city like that one day. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, foundations of perfect gems. That's where this creature was. He lived in this incredible environment. Verse 14 tells us that he was in the holy mount of God, the mountain of God. Now, when you read in the Old Testament, when the Bible mentions the mountain of God, it speaks of God's authority, God's rule, God's government. That is, he was right there at the place of authority. He was the anointed cherub that covers. He was the prime minister of heaven. Imagine this one. Imagine him full of wisdom, full of beauty, full of music, full of light, bedecked with gems, walking up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, the burning holiness of God. He was the anointed cherub. Look, if you will, in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That is, he stretched out his wings before the throne of God. Anointed and appointed of God. What a creature was this one. The cherubim of the highest classes of angels, and he was the chiefest among them. Verse 18 that we've not yet read speaks of his sanctuaries. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. What is a sanctuary? It's a place of worship. He was there in the sanctuary, the mount of God, the government of God, the stones of fire giving glory to God. Incredibly, incredibly beautiful. But remember this, he was a created being. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created. Don't ever get the idea that Satan is co-equal and co-eternal with God. Don't ever get the idea that somehow there's some sort of a dualism in the universe, that from everlasting to everlasting there's always been Satan, there's always been God the Father. Oh no, there never was a time when God was not. There was a time when Satan was not. He was created. When he was created, he was not created a devil. He was created Lucifer, the son of the morning. He became Satan, the father of the night, when he fell, as we're going to see in a moment. But he was created in absolute perfection. But he was a created being. You know the trouble with many people today? They fail to understand that Satan was created. And the God that spoke him into existence is the same God that will speak him into oblivion. We're not wondering today who's going to win, whether there's some sort of a battle with two great cosmic forces. God is God. Satan is not the opposite of God. Satan is a created being. Now remember this. He was created in perfection. Number two, he was corrupted through pride. He was corrupted through pride. Look in verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Do you know when the Bible says when we are in the process of ordaining or setting aside a minister, one of the prime requisites for a minister is that he be a man that has walked with God, that he has experience, that he's humble, that he is not a novice. The Bible is speaking here of the requirement for a minister, and the Bible says, not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. It was pride that made the devil the devil. Nothing will keep a minister of the gospel or a teacher of the gospel or a singer of the gospel or a servant of the gospel further away from Satan than true, genuine humility. Nothing makes a man more vulnerable to falling than pride. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And the prime requisite for a minister of the gospel is that he is a humble man. Now, God did not create a devil. God created a holy angel. But this holy angel was lifted up with pride. When God made that angel, God gave that angel an ability to choose between good and evil. And that angel chose evil, and the thing that motivated his choice was his pride. Isaiah chapter 14 describes it also when he said, I will be like the Most High. It was then that Lucifer, the son of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. Now understand this. Satan had indescribable beauty. Now, that beauty still remains. Notice verse 17, thou wast lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Now look at that very carefully, because the implication is that the beauty is still there. The wisdom is still there. But what he has now is a corrupted wisdom. What he has now is a blemished beauty. Now don't miss this. Satan is still wise, but his wisdom is corrupted. Satan is still beautiful, but his beauty is blemished. Now if you don't listen to anything else that I say today, I hope that you will learn this about Satan. Satan is brilliantly stupid. He is hideously beautiful. Now don't get the idea that because Satan has sinned against God that he is a knucklehead in every area of the world. Now he is ultimately a knucklehead. I mean, to think that he could overthrow God. But still he is brilliantly stupid. He is hideously beautiful. Don't look for some scaly monster with red skin and scales and a pitchfork trying to catch somebody bending over. That's not the way the Bible describes the devil. Not some repulsive monster. That's his character, but that's not his appearance. Here's his appearance. Here's the camouflage that he wears. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul is speaking about some false teachers that were in the pulpit of his day. And then the Apostle Paul says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as what? An angel of light. An angel of light. If Satan were to walk into this building today,
you say, oh, isn't that beautiful?
An angel, we've seen an angel. And then the Apostle Paul, with that great logic of his, says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's talking about ministers, now Satan's ministers, and he's saying they can be found in the pulpits. Did you know all across America Satan has put his ministers? I mean, Sunday people will come down and sit in a service, and the man in the pulpit will be a minister, but he will be transformed by Satan as a minister of righteousness, but he is a minister of Satan. Isn't that frightening? Folks, you need to understand that Satan is not against religion. His chief tool is religion. He's always wanted to be like God. He's always wanted to be worshiped. And his temptation to you is not to be ungodly. It is to be like God, Satan's way. Isn't that what he told Eve? In the day that you eat thereof, what? You will be like God. It wasn't a temptation to fall down. It was a temptation to fall upward. It was the same temptation that he had when he said, I will be like the Most High. It's an angel of light. I was preaching one day or sermon something like this, and a little boy met me afterward at the door. He said, that was a good sermon, preacher. He said, when you were up there preaching, I could see the devil just as plain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Don't forget to look for the devil when you look in the pulpit, because sometimes he's there. Listen to it again. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Satan wears this camouflage. He is the master of deception. Don't think that you would recognize him with human ingenuity. The Bible says if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. That's the reason we have to walk closely to God. I picked out some words that describe the way that Satan works. These words have come right out of the Bible. More subtle than any beast of the field. Angel of light. Wiles, W-I-L-E-S. Snares. Devices. Do you understand how he works? Again, he is in religion. He's not opposed to religion. Why, when he tempted the Lord Jesus, he had the audacity to say to Jesus, fall down and worship me. He has always wanted to be worshiped. And he's in theological institutions today. He's in liberal, worldly, ungodly churches, false cults. And we're going to see more and more of it in the last day. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits. Have you ever watched or seen a man seduce a woman? A woman seduce a man? There are seducing spirits, but they don't seduce sexually, they seduce theologically. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen to this scripture again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, talking about the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times, I believe those are these days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, what have we said, therefore? We have said that Satan was created in perfection, but he was corrupted through pride. He was lifted up because of his beauty. He said, I'm too wise, too beautiful, too great, too magnificent to be any less than God himself. Here's the third thing. Here's the third thing. Satan continues with power. Sometimes we have the idea that he doesn't have any power in this world today. But notice, if you will, in verse 16, by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Satan is at master control, manipulating the hearts and minds of people. That's why we live in such a violent society. because it's energized by Satan himself. Well, why does God allow this power? Why doesn't God just kill the devil? Why doesn't God just destroy the devil? If God did that, he would not be working according to his plan, his holiness, and his justice. God has a plan, and God is working that plan out. But that plan is in perfect synchronization with God's holiness. Now, you can find that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Here's what Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 has to say about Satan and his destruction. For as much then as the children, he's talking about us, calling us the children of God, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, we live in flesh and blood, he also himself, now he's talking about Jesus, he also himself took part of the same, that is, Jesus became flesh and blood. God was incarnated, that is, he took a human body, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Somebody says, why doesn't God just kill the devil? God says, no, I'll put my son on the cross. Now, why? Why does it say that Jesus took flesh and blood? Because we're flesh and blood, that Jesus through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Because the wages of sin is death, and we're sinners, and we deserve it, and God is a holy and a righteous God, and God cannot overlook sin, and that sin must be paid for. And if God were to simply kill the devil and take us to heaven without dealing with sin, God would no longer be a righteous and a holy God, and man's dominion was legally lost, and it will be legally regained. And God said, a man lost it and a man will regain it. The first Adam lost it, the second Adam will get it back. That's why God is doing it in concert with his perfect plan. And the battle that began in heaven will be won here on earth. As a matter of fact, it already has been won at dark Calvary when Jesus suffered, bled, and died and said, now is the prince of this world cast out. When Jesus died, he broke Satan's back. And did you know that one day you and I are going to have a part in judging Satan? Did you know one day he's going to report to us? You ever thought about that? You know, people say, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. That's not the big question. Is the devil afraid of you? He ought to be. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, that we as saints don't need to go to judge, to court against one another. He said, aren't you saved? Can't you settle these things among yourselves with Christian brothers? Why, he says, don't you understand that one of these days we're going to judge angels? We are going to judge angels. But Satan is contending with power to those who do not know him. You remember when Jesus was tempted of Satan? You can find this in Luke chapter 4. He said, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world because they have been delivered unto me, and I can give them to whoever I will. You just fall down and worship me. I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world. What is he saying? He's saying, they're mine. They were delivered unto me. How were they delivered unto him? Adam delivered them unto him. They were given to Adam. When God created Adam and Eve, God said, I give you dominion. Adam and Eve gave that dominion to Satan. And Jesus never said to Satan, Satan, you don't have that dominion. Jesus knew that it was legally lost and it had to be legally regained. And Jesus knew that he would suffer, bleed, and die upon that cross. But in the meanwhile, to those who refuse what Jesus did on the cross, to those who are ignorant of it, or to those who rebel against it, they are still the pawns of Satan. One of my favorite hymns, if not my favorite of all favorites, is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. What a great song that is, great in music, great in theology. There's one line in there where Martin Luther spoke of Satan. And he said this of Satan, his power and craft are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. That is true. Don't you think lightly of Satan. We're up against an enemy, brilliantly stupid, hideously beautiful. And verse 18 speaks of his multitude of iniquities. That's where the cultural war is coming from, a multitude of iniquities. Why does Satan have you for an enemy? Because you're made in the image of God. He cannot get at God directly. And so wicked people have always known if you can't get at somebody, hurt somebody that somebody loves, and you've hurt that somebody anyway. Isn't that true? And so if Satan can get at you, that's his way of getting at God, because he cannot get at God directly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 speaks of those who are oppressed of the devil. Luke 13, verse 16 spoke of a woman whom Satan has bound. Even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 spoke of a messenger of Satan that was buffeting him. Satan is filling the world with terror. He is the ultimate terrorist. There's a reign of evil, subversion, perversion, diversion. He wants to divide, to depress, to destroy. Depression, oppression, possession. These are works of the devil. And you know what I found by reading the Bible? That this devil has a special war on babies. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing. You just read the Bible all the way through. You find where the Canaanite nation's demon-possessed, what would they do? Kill the babies. You find old Herod, what did he do? Kill the babies. Old Pharaoh, what did he do? Kill the babies. And you know who is doing the same thing today. And I'll tell you, the power behind the throne is the devil himself. Can't we understand this? It's a reign of terror. He is a bloodthirsty monster. Power behind the throne. He was created in perfection. He was corrupted with pride. He continues in power. He is condemned to perdition. He is condemned to perdition. Begin reading again in verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom because of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people should be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. From the stones of fire to the lake of fire, that's where he's going, friend. From the highest place to the lowest place. And God is going to shame him on this earth where he's done his reign of terror. Satan said, I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Jesus said, I will descend. Jesus left heaven and came to this earth. And Jesus destroyed Satan at Calvary. I've already given you that scripture, Hebrews 2, verse 14, that says, through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That word destroy is a word katargeo. It doesn't mean to destroy. It does not mean to annihilate so it doesn't exist anymore. It literally means to make of none effect. When Jesus was on that cross, Jesus bowed his head and he said, it is finished. And the host of hell said, ha ha, he's finished. Well, that's not what he said. He said, it is finished. What is finished? The payment of sin is paid in full. The prophecies are finished. And Satan's kingdom is finished. Done.
His back was broken. He sails a sinking ship. He rules a doomed domain. They put Jesus Christ in that grave for 3 days and three nights. Death, that cruel monarch of terror, shrieked in glee. He's finished. He's finished. Hell had a holiday. But on that Sunday morning, Jesus stretched and yawned. That tomb was just a motel room, 3 days and three nights. He got up. He folded the bedclothes. How'd you leave your bed this morning? Not in a hurry. They came in there. They found that napkin. Folded. Folded. Jesus. Then, as that stone rolled away, and by the way, the stone wasn't rolled away to let him out, just rolled away to let them in. Death, that monarch of terror, that sinister minister of evil, energized by Satan, sees Jesus risen victorious. He slinks back. Death has keys in his hand, a crown on his head. Jesus pulls death from the throne. Jesus puts his thumbs in the neck of death and strangles death. Jesus puts his heel on the neck of death, reaches down, takes the crown, puts it on his own head, takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and walks out of that grave. Friend, it is finished indeed. Satan is finished. Death is finished. Hell is finished through the death of Jesus on that cross. Through death, that he might destroy him that has the power of death. That is the devil. And he is destined for hell. Let me tell you this. Hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Now, you can go to hell if you wish, but if you go, you'll be an intruder. You don't belong there. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God made you for himself. God made you to know him and love him and worship him. Don't ever get the idea that God made anybody to go to hell. He didn't. And when Jesus comes, we're going to be made just like Jesus. Now, you ready for some good news? Are you ready? If you give your heart to Christ, if you get saved in the resurrection, when you arise in the likeness of Jesus Christ, God's going to give you a position greater than Satan had before he fell. And remember how we described Satan? You in the resurrection will not be made better than Satan. You will be made like Jesus. You're not going to be made better than Satan. That's not it. You're going to be made like the Lord Jesus. I had rather be a saved sinner than an innocent angel to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Praise Him. There are two categories of people in the world today. There are those who, like Satan, will say to God, "Not your will, but mine be done." And there are those like Jesus who say, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." Folks, it doesn't make sense to follow a loser. Give your heart to Jesus.
We trust that God has blessed you as you've listened to this message. If you'd like to know more about how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please go to our website at www.lwf.org. And click on the Discover Jesus link for more information. If you would like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.